This is KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. The USS Nimitz is 1,100 feet long, long enough that if you stood it up on its stern, it would surpass the tallest building in Seattle, the Columbia Tower. The Nimitz, along with another aircraft carrier, is home-ported in Bremerton, and they are floating cities, carrying thousands of sailors whose families live in the towns the vessels call home. Josh Farley covers military affairs for the Kitsap Sun and recently spent 4 days aboard the Nimitz as it traveled from Bremerton to San Diego. He reported on his trip in a series that ran in the newspaper last week, describing life aboard the ship and its importance not only for the Navy, but for the Puget Sound region as well. Farley told me about his trip, and I began by asking him if he'd ever done anything like this before.
I had never been on an aircraft carrier as it's underway. I'd toured the Nimitz before, but I'd never gotten the chance to feel the power of twin nuclear reactors doing their thing as we rumbled out of Puget Sound.
What is it like when you're actually on one of these things?
To me, it never got over feeling like it was a house of mirrors. You went down through hatches. Sometimes they even closed the hatches and you had to go through even smaller circular openings called scuttles. So it feels like just this huge labyrinth, and you live under the surface. You know, it's not like I got a window in my bunk. You're pretty much isolated from the world, it seems. And then every now and then you go up into the cargo hangar or onto the flight deck and you remember, oh my gosh, there's the ocean, there's the world. And of course, the flight deck being what it's all about, why the aircraft carrier, why every job on board does what it does.
Yeah, I wonder if when you're on board, you sometimes forget that you're on a ship. It's so big, and I wonder if it feels like you're just sort of covering people at work, or if you're aware that you're at sea.
We had the benefit on our trip of having rough seas, so it was never lost on me, and I pretty much lived for a time on Dramamine. You know, I was in the XO's office, the executive officer, Matt Thomas, during some of the roughest seas, and you just kind of get used to everyone's chair going back and forth, and hopefully things don't break when they move from side to side and in the turbulence.
Let's talk about the ship. The Nimitz is nearing the end of its service. It is an older vessel. How old is it?
So it's 45 years old. You have to really do some thinking. You know, go back to 1975. You know, one of its first forays in the world was parking, I believe, not far off of Iran during the Iran hostage crisis and the ambush of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. And it's an old ship that essentially they've kept going through overhauls and modernization efforts, many of which have occurred at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard.
What happens when it's decommissioned? I know there's no date yet, but it's coming.
So that's interesting. You know, these are not cheap. Every time one of these carriers goes through an overhaul, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars each time. The Nimitz was $4.5 billion when it was built. Today's carrier, the Ford class, is $13+ billion. So you're talking about a lot of money, but I would expect to see the Nimitz in service for at least 5 more years, if not longer.
You mentioned in your story that the average age aboard the Nimitz is 24 years old. These are people in their very early adulthood in charge of a very big, very expensive thing.
Absolutely. Think about where you were when you graduated from high school. You know, you got a lot of growing up to do. And I do think about that. I think about how when we exited Rich Passage, there was a 20-year-old who can't even buy alcohol in a store or, for that matter, now cigarettes, I think. And he's piloting this giant warship. Of course, why this all works is because there is a core experienced all kinds of positions from the command master chiefs and the highest ranks of the enlisted through the officers corps, commanding officer and executive officer that have been in the Navy. They've done this for a long time, and they are, of course, keeping a watch just like they were on that 20-year-old at the helm.
I don't in any way want to downplay the seriousness of what happens aboard a Navy vessel, but I as you talk, you've made me curious if the people who are in charge of this ship, do they find themselves kind of balancing their time between like these serious things that the U.S. Navy is doing aboard an aircraft carrier and like the kinds of things that like an RA in a dorm has to deal with, like coping with relationships and making sure everybody's getting along and Is there a naval equivalent of a floor meeting?
I have no doubt that there is. I think there's a culture in the Navy about team building, for sure. And one person that I spent a lot of time with is what they call the ship's resiliency counselor. There's also a psychologist on board. The Navy's not for everybody, and deployment certainly puts a strain on not only your life at sea, but your home life. So I think it comes from the leadership that you face this moment where you have to grow up, and the decisions that you make will affect your Navy career, whatever you want that to be. But they do build that in. There is definitely an acknowledgement of the mental health piece particularly, but also just the overall, how can you find peace with yourself as you are maturing as an individual, but also fighting for this greater purpose in your life.
So the Navy has brought you aboard the Nimitz for this 4-day sail, and you're getting to see how the aircraft carrier works. You're getting a wealth of knowledge that informs your job as a reporter covering military affairs. But part of that job is also holding the military accountable and some of the journalistic skepticism that we're all required to have. How do you maintain that kind of professional distance while the Navy's also kind of rolling out the red carpet? It seems like a difficult balance.
It is. I would definitely say that's true. In terms of my reporting, I was going to write what I saw. I went into this journey with the Navy under no uncertain terms, and they respected that. I can't even think of one interview that I was not able to get. The only place I couldn't go on the ship was the reactor. That's probably for good reason. But I hear exactly what you're saying, and I think that as a reporter, they have to know that we have jobs to do. And while that is one of the trickier aspects, things can feel awkward with sources. That's true of the City Hall reporter. That's true of anyone in any particular beat. You know, I have to write stories that good, bad, or indifferent tell different things about the Navy. And my compass is true north is to the truth, and won't waver from that. And my hope is that they understand that. And if I'm not invited back, that's the way it goes. But that's what I have to do.
Josh Farley, military affairs reporter for the Kitsap Sun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed.